Hi, I'm Marogoro, hopefully a future alumni of Johns Hopkins. At the moment, struggling with biostatistics, but learning. So, before coming to Hopkins, I was in an interesting place. It was 2016, and like every other year, the government released the list of where the newly released medical officers were going to be posted to. It's a random allocation. Take a list of names, take a list of places that need doctors, and bunch them together. As luck would have it, I ended up in a place that's called Samburu. Samburu is 350 kilometers away from Nairobi. I grew up in Nairobi my whole life. I went to medical school in Nairobi. And even the year I was away from Nairobi doing my first year of supervised training, I'd go back home because I wanted to, you know, watch a movie, eat at a restaurant because I'm a city girl. But I was here posted to Samburu and I thought, well, okay, it's 350 kilometers away from Nairobi. I'm a bit adventurous. I've traveled across Kenya. It's my country. No biggie. I'm going to serve my people. So journey with me to Samburu. The first 250 kilometers looked like the rest of Kenya. Cities, tarmac roads, and then you hit that 250 kilometer mark. And then you transition into another world. It's not paved. There are no set roads. So one day we'd be using this road. Another day we could be using a possibly different road. You never knew what road you were going to. That last 100 kilometers would take you anywhere from 3 hours, and one night we stayed on the road for 12 hours because the road, they trained, there was no road, you had to dig the bus out. But it's fine, I'm adventurous, I'm serving. I was happy to be there. We'd see, it was a game drive, we'd see elephants, we'd see zebras. It really is another world. And then I was transplanted, this city girl was transplanted into the Samburu community. In this Samburu community, they have kept their traditions from thousands of years ago. They do not wear modern clothes. They do not speak the national language. They do not, most of them do not live in permanent structures. And they still hold dear their cattle and their herds. That is their currency. That's what's important to them. But I'd been trained, 5 years of medical school, 1 year of internship at a really good center. And so I was ready. I was ready to make diagnosis, write prescriptions, treat the people. But then I had to learn. I had to learn very many different skills. I had to learn how to tell how long it has been that a goat's tail had dried. Because before Samburu people die, they have a burial ceremony to usher them off into their next life. And part of the ceremony means you take a goat's tail and tie it around the hand. And why would that be important to a doctor? Because that's how my stroke patients presented. I needed to know how long ago they had had the stroke, which is not something I could get from a history. But because I could tell how long ago this goat's tail had been around their hand, I could then tell how long ago they had had their stroke because they'd do the ceremony in anticipation of the patient passing away, but the patient wouldn't pass away. The patient would get better, and then they'd bring them to the hospital. But for a long time, what I was being told and what I was seeing wasn't making correlating until someone taught me that this is what this means. And so I stopped asking how long ago did the patient get sick because that would give me a different story. I started asking another Samburu person, how long is that? Like, how long has it taken for that goat tail to be that dried? And for me, giving my stroke patients the right treatment, that was the most important thing I had to learn, that this was their culture and that's how they treated their people. Another time I was combated with the Samburu culture is when I had a 70-year-old patient. She was 70. We worked her up. She had a myriad of different diagnoses that I couldn't put together. So I was treating her symptoms. I worked her up. But there was nothing that was tying everything together. All patients get HIV tests, but you most of the time had to follow up. I learned to follow up on all patients just to make sure I had a clear diagnosis. But she was 70, so I was trying to figure out all other things. And the next day, I have a ward round with my consultant. I present my workup, how I've treated her for all the symptoms, how I'm trying to get her diagnosis, but I don't have anything that's tying up. He looks at me, he looks at her, and he says, "Oh, Grandma, you're a traditional birth attendant." And I'm like, where did all this come from? He'd been there for longer, and because of her beading, he was able to tell that she was a traditional birth attendant, and immediately I was able to tighten all. We ended up giving her the HIV test, and this 70-year-old lady had HIV because she was a traditional birth attendant and likely had attended to someone without gloves. And these stories were, for me, something I'll carry on as I continue my global health journey, that as we serve people, they live in their cultures. And until we understand the realities of the people we are serving, it's difficult to then give them the care that they need and the health that they deserve. Thank you.